We're going to turn to the Word of God, Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 1. These are familiar words. Many people could quote several of these verses, if not the whole passage, without looking. And yet, we come afresh to this passage tonight. We read it with new vision. We pray, Lord, will help us to read it anew and see new things in it. Pray that we'll not just take for granted we know what's here, but the Lord will certainly open our eyes and write His truth upon our hearts tonight. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through to verse 10. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Amen. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of reading thy truth tonight. Lord, we haven't our mother tongue. Lord, you've given us the ability to read. You've given us minds to comprehend. And we thank you, Lord, for this tonight. And we pray as we've read these words, as they've gone into our hearts tonight, O Lord, already, you will start to speak. Oh, Lord, come, we pray. Lord, let us not just come and go from the house of God, simply listening, but Lord, help us to hear. Oh, Lord, help us to hear within our ear. Pray, Lord, for God's people in this meeting tonight. You'll encourage them through the words that we administer. Help us, Lord, to be those who bring words of comfort to God's people because of the basis upon which we stand, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, oh, Lord, for those who are not standing upon that finished work, then, Lord, I have to bring words of warning. And we pray, Lord, tonight, you'll give me grace to do that as well. Oh, Lord, speak to the unsaved in the gathering tonight. Speak to those who couldn't sing peace, peace, wonderful peace. Oh, Lord, I pray tonight you'll give them a desire for that peace. Oh, give them a desire to be right with God. Lord, lest they fall into hell in their sin. Oh, Lord, come, I pray. Lord, open the windows of heaven tonight. Pour us out thy blessing. Presence thyself with us, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Come, we pray, and minister to us. Empty me of self and sin, I pray. Fill me with thy Spirit and give me power for Christ's sake and for his glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Three simple words in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. We have peace. We have peace. Folks, tonight, if you're included in that, if you can say, I have peace, then you're someone tonight who's blessed beyond all measure. You're someone tonight who knows the richness of the mercy and the love of God. Friend, tonight, if you cannot say, I have peace with God, then you've nothing, nothing in this world. If you read any newspaper this week, if you watch any TV program, if you listen to any news report, you will hear about peace. Peace is a word that is used frequently in our world today. We hear about peace processes, the breakdown of peace, peace being troubled and peace being disturbed, commissions and countries getting together to speak about peace. And yet we're living in a world that, we have to be honest, is we find a great lack of peace. Country, no peace with country. Political party, no peace with political party. Family member, no peace with family member. And even in God's house, sometimes Christians, no peace with other Christians. And whenever people speak about peace, and sometimes we're in danger of doing this even in the house of God, when we speak about peace, we are imagining in our minds ideal circumstances or an easy path that will result in peace. In other words, outward peace because of what is going on around us, depending upon what's happening around you. And they'll often quote the Lord Jesus Christ's birth when the angel sang, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." And we hear many people taking that verse out of context and they say, we're praying for peace on earth. And yet, whenever we come to the Word of God, we don't actually find that's what the Word of God declares. The peace of Scripture is not a pleasant set of circumstances, but the peace of Scripture is a right relationship with God. That is what peace is. That's why the angels were singing in heaven. Not that there would be no wars anymore, not that there would be no conflict anymore, but the greatest conflict, the greatest enmity that has ever been seen in this world, that between sinful man and a holy God, could be made in a peaceful relationship through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, that is what the peace of Scripture is speaking about. And whenever people take the word peace and take Christ out of the picture, then in reality there is no peace. How do I know that for sure? Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, listen to these words, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You see, it says here, ye shall have tribulation. There will always be conflict of some description in our lives, but here's what he said, in me ye might have peace. That's why he spoke. That's why these words are recorded. That's why we have the Scripture, that in Christ, in the words of Christ, that in the truth of Christ, as we cling to it, as we obey it, as we rest upon it, we shall have peace. That's why the Lord said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And these are realities that Christ alone brings peace in the midst of even difficult circumstances. It is a peace that will give you hope in life and a peace that will give you rest in death. And folks, we need peace within our hearts that we might live hopefully in this world. And I don't mean hoping things work out right, but that eternal hope that God is in control of all things, that's the only peace we really have. And then when we come to die, the only thing that will suffice and give us a safe passage and give us that crossing over will be the peace of God. That's the only thing that will matter at that time, that we are right with the Lord. And I want to speak simply about two types of peace that the Scripture speaks of. There is peace with God, and then there is the peace of God. Firstly tonight, peace with God. That brings us immediately to a great problem. It says here in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, Paul is speaking to people who have peace with God. They didn't always have peace with God. In fact, the very reason he's rejoicing and writing this epistle is because now they do have peace with God, with the Apostle Paul. You see, the reason is man does not naturally have peace with God. By his birth, man is sinful, and therefore there is no peace between God and man. Yes, I know we take a little baby in our arms and we thank the Lord for the birth of little children and say, oh, they just look so innocent, so angelic. And they're beautiful, and they're gifts from God, and they're to be loved and marveled over. And yet the reality is, they are still sinners. Because of our fallen nature, man born into this world is born as a sinner. And that sin is an awful thing. Many people are so sinful, and it's such a grip of their lives, that they don't feel the evil or the ugliness of their sin. Man's sin makes him believe that it's more important for him to be at peace with his fellow man than it is to be at peace with God. What are the cries of the world leaders today? Let's have peace with each other. And the protests, and the marches, and the campaigns, and sometimes the end of political parties in different countries in this world, what is their goal? It is to have peace with others around them. And whenever these people are speaking, and politicians are speaking, and leaders are speaking, people listen because they want to hear what the peace is that they can offer man between man and country between country. And yet, folks, that's not the most important peace that we need to pursue. The most important peace that we need to pursue is peace with God. And isn't it interesting that, as Romans said, rather than worshipping our Creator, we're worshipping man more so than our Creator, because we're feeling it's more important that we have peace with man rather than having peace with God. A man's sinfulness is also a great problem, because in his sinfulness, man doesn't believe what God says about his sin. See, God says sin destroys your life. And yet there are people in this meeting tonight, and you're saying, no, well, I'm in my sin, and I'm quite happy. My life isn't being destroyed. And friend, that's because the god of this world, the devil, has blinded your eyes. God says your sin demands judgment, and you walk through life saying, well, everything's been okay. I haven't been judged or punished for my sin. I'll be okay. The Bible says sin damns. Friend, every action you commit, every word you speak, every thought you think, it damns your soul in a Christless eternity in hell. And yet so great and wicked and dark is sin that that very thing blinds your eyes to the reality of what a perilous position you're in tonight. If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, friend, you're in a very perilous position, because you have no peace with God. You've lived your life to this point without God and without peace. Oh, you might have peace with your family. You might have peace with your fellow man. You might have peace with your neighbors. You might have peace with your church. But within your heart, there is no peace, and therefore you're at enmity with God, an enemy of God. And friend, if you live without God, without peace in life, and you die without God, without peace, then in eternity you will be without God, and you will be without peace. That's a great problem. Thank the Lord, we do not just bring to you a great problem tonight, we bring a gracious provision. You see, when we think about peace, we realize it is a blessing. It is a blessing from the Lord. What does the word peace mean? Well, the word peace is used in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And while it's translated the same, don't forget the Old Testament mainly written in Hebrew, the New Testament written in Greek. So it's two different words and two different sources that we're taking the one word from. In the Old Testament, it means to be safe, to be well, to be happy, and it has a thought of prosperity. And we can truly say, when man is saved by the grace of God, and when man is peace with God, then man is prospered. He has prospered abundantly with all spiritual blessings and heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. But in the New Testament, there's a further meaning. It does also mean prosperity in the New Testament, but it's the thought of a quietness, at rest. And it also comes from the word meaning to join. And what is peace, friend? This is what peace is. Biblical peace is when we're joined in fellowship with God. We are joined in fellowship with God. Look what it says there in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The thing that has separated us has been dealt with. It has been removed. And we are now joined onto the Lord and grafted into the family of God. You see, we notice here in the gracious provision the blessing of peace. But notice the source of peace. It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the source of peace. And friend, tonight you can have two sinners sitting in a room in unity, being friendly, at peace with one another. That's not true peace. True peace is whenever man is in union with Christ. That's true peace. He is called the Prince of Peace. He is called the Giver of Peace. In John 14, he said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace in life and peace in death. He is a source of peace. But then let's think just for a moment about the path of peace. Because there is a way to have this peace as your own personal possession. And it's important tonight to realize that for you to have peace with God, it involves you doing something. It involves you doing something. Now, you can't earn favor with God. You can't deal with your sin. But there is something you do need to have in your life. And the Bible does tell us about it. It's not coming to church. That does not give you peace with God. It's not being a good citizen or a good family member that does not give you peace with God. It's not being baptized. It's not being christened. It's not being confirmed. It's not being the kindest, most generous person you can be, or even the most upright. No, that doesn't give peace with God. We find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse number 50, what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us, gives us peace with God. Verse number 48 of Luke chapter 7, verse 48, "And Jesus said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sin also? And in Luke 7, verse 50, "And Jesus said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So there's something man has to do. He has to exercise faith in the one who can give him peace. He has to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there were lots of people in that room that day, but there was one woman, one individual who came to a personal Savior and had a personal faith in him, and she walked away with personal peace within her heart because sins were forgiven and she was saved by the grace of God. And if you are ever going to be saved by the grace of God, if you want to know peace within your heart for life and peace within your heart for death, then you need a personal faith in a personal Savior. A personal faith and a personal Savior. And then turn to Colossians chapter 1, because we're told a little bit more what this faith entails. In Colossians chapter 1, it says there, at the end of verse number 18, of Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, that in him, or that in all things he might have the preeminence, that's Christ, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. So firstly, what do we need to have? We need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's more than just that. It's faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it's speaking about the blood of his cross. That brings us to the sacrifice of Christ. And the faith that will save you, the faith that will cause you to know peace with God, is believing and trusting and resting upon the fact that Jesus Christ died in your place. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. He died as your substitute. He died and he bore the burden of your sin. He paid the debt of your sin and he satisfied the wrath of God, thus removing any guilt on your part. So there must be faith in the work of Christ. And then if you turn back to Romans chapter 5 verse 1, you'll find that there's something else must happen. And we cannot do this. We cannot do this. We must exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something that happens when that occurs. We're justified. And it says here, being justified by faith. That word justified means to be declared righteous. It means to be declared just by God. In other words, to be accepted by God. In reality, what happens when we have faith is that the sin we bore and the guilt we bore, we place it upon the account of Christ. He has dealt with it. But when we're saved and when we have faith, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. And his merit and his holiness then is put down by our name. And we are covered with his righteousness. You see, folks, God justifies sinners when they trust in Christ. God justifies sinners when they have faith that the gospel he has clearly presented in Scripture is sufficient to save them from their sin. When they claim the blood as their covering, when they claim Christ as their Savior, when they claim the Lord as their God. Now we know that in Scripture, wherever you read of faith, then repentance is expected. We know that in Scripture, where you read of repentance, faith is expected. One cannot be exercised without the other. And therefore, what this verse is teaching us tonight, being justified by faith, turning away from our sin, trusting in Christ, that's how we're justified, declared righteous by God. And it's interesting to know that the one thing that sets us apart as being saved, our justification, is something we cannot do for ourselves. It's something God bestows upon us. Our responsibility is to take God at his word and to trust Christ is who he claims to be. And friend, then God does the work. God does the work. Can I say something? Peace is not ignoring the problem and pretending that everything's okay. That's not peace. Peace is when you confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. And Lord, I need deliverance from a sin. Lord, I believe the blood of Christ can cleanse me from all sin. Can I ask you a question? Have you been saved tonight? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever asked the Lord Jesus Christ to take away your sin? Have you ever asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come and pardon you from the guilt and the wickedness of your sin that you have known all your life from birth? Have you ever trusted in the finished work of the cross and claimed the blood as your covering? Wonderful thing is, tonight you can. Tonight you can. You can know peace with God. You can know peace with God. But folks, tonight, if you can't sit in this meeting and close your eyes and think of that day when you'll stand before God on the day of judgment, and if you can't sit in this meeting tonight and picture that day as you stand before a holy and a righteous, all-knowing God and say, I have nothing to fear because the blood of Jesus Christ is my plea. If you can't say that tonight, then friend, you are in great, great peril. And you need the peace of God. Thank the Lord, there is peace with God. It's yours tonight to claim. It's yours tonight to be possessed. But that peace is for those who come unto Him by faith. Then secondly and briefly, as we bring our meeting to a close, we not only have peace with God, but in the Word of God we have the peace of God. And you know, as Christians, and well, as anyone in this life, life is difficult, isn't it? Life isn't an easy road. But we can have the peace of God as those who are saved. And I just simply want to turn very briefly, four simple verses just to show you. And with this, we're through tonight. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. We'll just read them and make a comment on each. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. And it says here, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And folks, here's the first area of our lives we can know peace in. We can know peace of God in our thoughts. And isn't that really the place where we need to have the peace of God? In our thoughts. You see, the peace of heart and peace of thought is connected with a focused mind, whose mind is stayed on thee. And as we focus upon the Lord, and as you open your Bible every morning, and sometimes you might think, well, what's the point of me opening it? I don't get much out of it. It's hard. Oh, it's just such a battle to do it. And you think, what's the point? I'll tell you what the point is. As you open the Word of God, you're staying your mind upon Christ. And as you do that, your trust will deepen in the Lord. And the more you know about Christ, then I tell you, the more you'll love Him. And the deeper that trust and faith and that walk with the Lord will go. And when your mind is focused on Christ, then I tell you, there's peace of God within your heart and within your thoughts. And many of God's people fail to realize the very basic, elementary thing that must be engaged if you're going to enjoy your walk with God. Folks, your mind must be focused on Christ. This book must be opened. It must feed your heart and your mind on a daily basis. It must be in your thoughts. It must be that which causes you to wonder and ponder and meditate upon. Sad to say, there are many Christians and they're so busy taken up with things of the world. And all they're putting into their heart is the rubbish and the trash and the wickedness and the sin. And they've no peace of heart. And they've no peace of mind. And they realize then some way down the line, they realize just how far they've wandered from God. Friend, listen to me tonight. You can have perfect peace. perfect peace. That's what the scripture says. When our mind is stayed on Christ. Don't you expect to look at wickedness and evil and then expect God to bless you with a perfect peace? There's a promise here. There's also a condition. Our mind is stayed in Christ. And there's a great attack on the mind today. You know something? If we hear something often enough, we start to accept it and we start to believe it, don't we? That's the beauty of advertising. Maybe they put up enough posters around the country and you see it enough, well then you'll start to think it's right. On the radio, that advertising was on again and again and again. If you listen to it enough, you'll start to go in, that's what I should be thinking. Television as well, newspapers as well. Oh, how important that we continually come to the Word of God. So we can know the peace of God in our thoughts. Then turn to Philippians chapter 4, because we can also know the peace of God in our perceptions. And if we turn to Philippians chapter 4, some of my favorite verses in this Bible, it says, Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And here, not only can we have the peace of God in our thoughts, we can have the peace of God in our perception, the way we see things. Folks, that's very important. Often the way we see things and the way God sees things are very different. We can only see with human limitations. We can only see as far as the eye can see. God sees through time and eternity. God knows the beginning from the end. And this verse, if you look at this verse, we don't have time to go into it, but if you look at this verse, you will realize that we are not made to bear burdens alone. Child of God, remember that. There is nowhere in Scripture that you're asked to bear any burden alone. It says, be anxious or careful for nothing. You're to bring it to the Lord. And sometimes we're martyrs, aren't we? And we say, oh, well, nobody knows what I'm going through, and nobody knows the burdens I'm bearing. And often, the one who ought to know about them, the Lord, isn't told. The Lord knows what burdens you're going through, and the Lord knows what you're facing. But friend, God asks you to go to Him and leave the burden with Him. And not only do we need to realize that we are not made to bear our burdens alone, but we have to realize in this verse that there is no problem greater than God. There is no problem in your life tonight that's greater than the Lord. There's nothing you'll face this week that's greater than the Lord. And therefore, as we perceive things happening in our lives, and we understand that God is in control of all things, then we will not fret, we will not worry, we'll not lose our peace, but we'll rest in this fact, God is in control of His perfect plan for my life. We realize we're not made to bear burdens alone. We realize that no problem is greater than God. And then we realize that we always have a reason to be thankful, because even in the middle of that, it says that you make everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We have always a reason to be thankful. We'll not always be smiling. We'll not always be free from pain or disappointment, but we'll always have a reason to be thankful, because the unchanging God is our God. He's faithful. He will not fail. Thank God He will never disappoint us. So we can know the peace of God in our thoughts. We can know the peace of God in our perception. Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. So we've talked about the peace of God in our thoughts, the peace of God in our perception. Here, Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we have peace of God in our thoughts, peace of God in our perception, and peace of God in our attitude. Now, the word law there can simply be translated Bible. The great peace of they which love the Bible. Now, we sometimes, in a world that is overly critical of Christianity and anything to do with Scripture, we sometimes can be conditioned by those among whom we live and by the media, etc., to start to think that the law of God or the Bible is burdensome. Now, let's be honest. To the unsaved, yes, it does be a great burden to the unsaved. They think the Ten Commandments are restrictions in their life to take away the pleasure out of life. But I tell you, see, when you're saved and you come to this book and you start to realize that this book is God's best for you, and God's ways are always blessed ways, and God's ways are always the best ways. And when your attitude is this, this is the best thing for me today. This is the best thing I can do today. This is the best message I can receive today. This is the best instruction and teaching I can have today. See, when you come to God's Word with that, loving the Word and desiring the Word, then you'll have great peace in your heart, because as the false teachings of the world come at you like arrows from hell, the Word of God will be your shield. You will have built up a defense of truth around you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we need to pray that God will give us the right attitude towards the Bible. Oh, I have to do my readings. No, you get to do them. I have to go to church. I have to go to prayer meeting. No, you get to come. Folks, let's realize that what we have in our hand is one of the greatest blessings. And as we'll be hearing this year, throughout this anniversary of the Reformation, we will hear of people who literally were tied to a burning stake that we might have the privilege of having this book in our own tongue. They realized that it was the most valuable thing that we could have. Don't let the devil rob you of the blessing of God and the best of God by making you think, oh, what a burden. But get to this book and realize what a blessing. How blessed we are. Great peace have they which love thy law. And folks, tonight, let's be honest before God. If there are believers in this meeting and your attitude towards the Bible is wrong, and towards Bible study is wrong, towards coming to a Bible study or whatever, to God's house is wrong, get on your knees and say, Lord, give me a love for thy word. Give me a love for thy word. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there were many people in Muckerfelt who, when they heard, oh, the Word of God's being preached, they flocked, they wanted to go. It was on their mind when they got up in the morning to get that night to a meeting. Wouldn't that be wonderful? When wonderful their desire was to be at the next meeting, to hear the next reading. Wonderful their mind was, oh, let's get upstairs into the room and just let's open the Bible and see what God is going to say to me tonight. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Don't let the devil rob you. Pray tonight. I challenge every Christian to pray tonight, Lord, give me a deeper love for your word. You know what the result will be? Great peace. Great peace in the world. Like, let's be honest, the world's dictating to people how to be educated, how to raise their children, how to have successful marriages, etc. And the word of God is the greatest way. Let's go to the book. And then the final verse is this, Romans chapter 8, and with this we're through. Romans chapter 8, verse number 6. And it says there in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is death. That word death means deadly. In other words, a place that doesn't promote or encourage life. Now remember, we've talked about our thoughts, we've talked about our perception, we've talked about our attitudes, and here we're talking about our decisions. We need peace with our decisions. And it says here to be carnally minded, and that means the opposite of spiritual. You go in Galatians chapter 5, and you can read of the fruits of the Spirit, and you'll see what it is to have a spiritual mind. But if you take those things out and you're left with a carnal mind, you're left with simple human reasoning, then you'll find that that will be deadly. There'll be no promotion of life, an abundant life in your life. Going on and going through with God. But look what it says. To be spiritually minded is life. Peace. And folks, when you think about Galatians, we haven't time to turn tonight, but let's think The fruit of the Spirit is love. And you know, whenever we show love to brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't come away with regret, do we? We don't come away with an uneasy, unsettled feeling as if we've done something wrong. No, there's peace within our heart. And whenever we show meekness, and whenever we show humility, and whenever we show just that tenderness and temperance and all of those things that are mentioned there, Galatians chapter 5, folks, we don't come away feeling uneasy because we've done those things. No, we know within ourselves that when we're spiritually minded and do the right thing and live in a spiritual manner, then there's peace within our heart. And Christian, tonight, the devil wants to rob you of that peace. You don't need to show love. You don't need to show joy. You don't need to show peace. You don't need to... He wants to rob you. You never gain peace when you walk away from what the Lord has said will bring peace. And it is the fruit of the Spirit, those things we're to strive after in our lives, that will bring peace within our hearts. Perhaps tonight, as God's people, we crave the peace that we once knew. Maybe the peace we had the night we were saved. Maybe the peace we had when we were going on with God. Well, you know, friend, tonight, you're going to have peace of God in your thoughts. Peace of God in your perception. Peace of God in your attitudes. Peace of God in your decisions. Whenever you bow the knee and you talk to the Prince of Peace. And I urge you tonight, child of God, if you're living without that sweet, blessed peace of God, then get on your knees, and whatever the matter is, get it put right tonight. Nothing's worth missing out on the blessing. And friend, tonight, if you're in this meeting a heartbeat from hell, then I beg of you tonight, don't go one step further, but turn to the Prince of Peace, claim the covering of the blood as yours, and leave tonight in fellowship with God. I'm going to sing one verse in chorus as we conclude our meeting tonight. That's 364. 364. We'll sing verse number 3. O precious Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart. Break every fetter. Thy face let me see. Then thou shalt ever be precious to me. Sing verse 1, sing verse number 3, and then we'll remain standing for prayer. Now stand and sing.
Jesus, my Savior, is praying.
just with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, just want to challenge you one more time. Is Jesus precious to you? Is he your Savior? Child of God, are you walking with him? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege tonight of being in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for thy word. We realize, Lord, we're living in a world that desires peace, but doesn't desire Christ. And therefore, Lord, we pray that you will give us as God's people that true biblical peace, that people will see in our lives what true peace really is. Oh, Lord, we look at our family members. We see people in turmoil. We see people, Lord, who are just trying everything in this world to get peace. And Lord, our hearts go out to them because they won't try Christ. Oh Lord, show them the truth tonight. Bring them to an end of themselves tonight. Lord, bring them to the teachings of their youth. Bring them to their Sunday school days when they heard about the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God that shed his blood for sinners. People in this meeting tonight, Lord, and they've been living, desiring, looking for, trying for, searching for peace in their very childhood, and they sit here tonight and they look back over their lives and they say, no peace, no peace. But yet we thank thee, Lord, we can say with the hymn writer, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus gives me peace within. Oh Lord, grant it tonight in this meeting that souls will be given peace from God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.